There's a lot going on in Washington. House Republicans are getting ready to vote on their tax cut plan. The vote could come tomorrow. In the Senate, leaders have added a measure to their tax bill that would repeal the Affordable Care Act's individual mandate.
Roy Moore is still in the race in Alabama to fill Attorney General Jeff Sessions' old Senate seat, despite calls for Moore to drop out and Sessions to drop in as a write-in candidate. And this is all, of course, a day after Sessions was grilled by members of Congress on what he knew when about Russian interference in the U.S. election.
Here and now, political analysts join us now. Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Angela Rye, Democratic strategist. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Jeremy.
And we will get to Roy Moore in a minute, but I do want to start with tax cuts because this is something that could affect every single American. Paris, does it make it more or less likely that a plan will pass with a repeal of the individual mandate in it?
I think it makes it more likely that a plan will pass, I think, because the Republicans in the Senate want to be able to deliver on not only tax cuts, but overcoming what they failed to do a few weeks back when they did not deliver on repeal and replacing of Obamacare. So this is a smart thing that they are doing politically.
But and you when think you that see, John McCain and Jeff Flake and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and Bob Corker, they're all going to vote for a tax cut package after all that's happened?
Well, I mean, listen, I think at the end of the day, these are Republicans who know that if the president has committed himself to saying publicly and privately that he will not sign anything that is going to be burdensome, that does not directly cut taxes for the middle class and reduce the corporate rate for 20%. This is a bipartisan issue. These are things that those Republicans that you just named can go home and tell the constituents, I did this for you and this will directly benefit you and this is the positive thing. And when you add on the fact that this repeal of the mandate is on there, you already have people like Senator John McCain saying yesterday after the lunch where it was announced that he was open to supporting it. So there's momentum for this tax cut to happen in addition to tying it to the portion of the repeal and replace of Obamacare.
Angela, just jump in.
Yeah, so I actually couldn't disagree with Paris more. I think the reality of this is it's going to be very difficult for senators who live in states where it's been an uphill climb for them, frankly, to get into office. Think about Lisa Murkowski, who had to win a write-in election. It's hard to sell them on the fact that this is something that works for them when everyone knows that's not the case. The tax reform bill by itself is one that only benefits millionaires and billionaires. To add on an Obamacare repeal, an Obamacare mandate repeal, not only undoes everything about the Affordable Care Act, it also subjects 13 million Americans to not having health care coverage. And it also will ensure that Medicaid endures some additional cuts. That is not something that these senators can go back home and sell.
But Angela, just to take a cynical look at this, I mean, you're right. The Congressional Budget Office said killing the mandate would lead to 13 million people losing their insurance.
Right.
The Republicans do need this because getting rid of the mandate and essentially getting rid of Obamacare lessens the deficit that their cuts will create. So they need it on that level, too. But we saw what happened in the Virginia elections. People came out of those polls and said they wanted to keep Obamacare. Some could say, shouldn't Democrats let Republicans just waltz down this path?
I think that this is when politics gets in the way of policymaking. So, yes, that would mean a win for Democrats, Robin, but it means that Americans all over the country, regardless of their party affiliation, suffer. And I think that's where we have to lay politics aside and do what's in the best interest of the country. Republicans in the Senate and the House continue to demonstrate that they could care less about their constituents and their needs, and they would rather help them feel like they're living out the American dream by putting forth policy prescriptions that are really poisonous for them, quite literally could be their result in their death. I think that's irresponsible, and that's not why they were elected.
Okay,
well,
a poisonous policy prescription
was the Obamacare bill to begin with.
That's not true,
and we've
Paris,
seen
because
and we've
there
seen,
are millions of people who now have coverage. 20 million people have health care coverage now because of Obamacare.
We can have the conversation
about
so
talking point.
No, it's not a talking point. We can
it
have
is.
The conversation about whether or not the Affordable Health Care Act was actually affordable. We know that they couldn't keep your doctor. We know the premiums went up, and we know that a lot of people are faced with now the financial burden of this bill. And so there's a lot of problems with it. So there are things
there
that can stay.
There are also a lot of benefits of it. I know I kept my doctor and my premium went down.
Well, Angela, you are one of the few, because that is not the case for a lot of Americans out there.
Well, even
so
Democrats
you would
say.
Rather subject 13 million more people to rising premiums? Paris, just with the Obamacare mandate repeal alone, everyone who has health care coverage right now under an Obamacare plan, they would see premiums increase over the course of the next 365
days. They're already seeing
days.
The premiums increase, Angela,
no,
from Arizona, over 100 some odd percent increase. There's
know,
no difference.
Paris, and I know
Obamacare
that that's
created,
the anecdote
it's
you
not
like
a,
to
it's not an anecdote. It's a fact.
It is an anecdote.
Angela,
it's
accept
not bad.
The fact.
Okay.
I'm from Arizona.
One at a time. One at a time.
Premiums went up in Arizona because of Obamacare.
The truth
that
is
fact.
You guys, the truth is even, you know, on both sides of the aisle, the thinking was that Obamacare needed to be fixed, just whether or not it should be thrown out. Yeah.
The truth is also it would be malpractice if with just 5 minutes left in our segment, we didn't even talk about Roy Moore. So I want to ask you about that.
Sorry.
Paris, do you think it's time for Roy Moore to get out of the race?
I think it's time for Roy Moore to have an honest conversation with the voters in Alabama who have supported him for decades. If Roy Moore feels that, there's 2 points. If Roy Moore feels that the allegations are false and are wrong, he should fight it like anybody would. But if there's any shred of truth to it, Roy Moore should do the best.
Well, what do you think?
I think it's up to the people of Alabama to decide that. I think it's up to them, because this is what we always do wrong. We always forget that it is not up to Washington pundits or the people that are in the political class in D.C. It is up to those people in Alabama. And the polling has showed that he's not cratering.
Yeah, but even Sean Hannity, let's just listen for a second. Even
and like I said, Sean Hannity is correct. Sean Hannity said if there's any shred of truth to it, you have 24 hours to come clean and figure it
out.
Let's
listen. Let's listen. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me, the judge has 24 hours. You must immediately and fully come up with a satisfactory explanation for your inconsistencies. You must remove any doubt. If he can't do this, then Judge Moore needs to get out of this race.
So, Paris, that's a little more than you said. He's saying he's got to say something. You're saying it's up to the voters, but that would
it
be...
It's not Sean Hannity's call. It's not Mitch McConnell's call. It is up to the voters. Look, President Trump went out and said, I want Luther Strange. That's the irony about this whole thing. He said, I want Luther Strange. His competitors and the voters in Alabama said, Mr. President, we like you. We support you. We want to make America great again, but we feel that Roy Moore is our guy. It is not up to Washington pundits and commentators and politicians to decide what Alabama voters want. Look, we know that Bill Clinton, go back. There were allegations against him when he ran for attorney general and governor, but the people of Arkansas.
Please let me respond to Roy Moore.
No, but the people, the people in Arkansas said, we still believe in you and we disregard what was saying.
Clinton
so it's
was
up
impeached.
To the voters.
Clinton was impeached, and I think many Republicans are
for
worried.
Lying and obstruction of justice.
Right, and many Republicans are worried that Moore, if elected, will be facing an ethics investigation. That's what Mitch McConnell says.
Angela, what do you think of all this?
So one thing that I think is important is for Republicans who are voting in the election in Alabama is for them to vote their conscience. And by that, I mean, if there are 35% of Alabamans who are evangelicals, we know that Roy Moore spent his evening yesterday at a church revival. I want for those evangelicals to lead the way, to rely on their faith, and demonstrate the fact that there is no place for sexual assault, sexual harassment, or attempted rape in the United States Senate. I want them to lay some of their traditional values inside in favor of what is the correct and right thing to do. You can forgive the sinner. You can hate the sin, but that doesn't mean he deserves to be your United States Senator because you've been looking away for decades.
Look,
that's irresponsible on all of our parts.
We only have a couple minutes now. And Paris, I have to ask you about one of my favorite things that I've heard on talk television recently, which was you last night talking about Jeff Sessions and his grilling yesterday. And he said he forgot the meeting in which George Papadopoulos talked about the Russians and the Russians wanting a meeting until he heard the news reports. And now he remembers, and he does remember that he shut him down and said, we are not going to meet with the Russians. But you suggested that this was a matter of memory and that Jeff Sessions just needed some ginkgo biloba, which is the first time, this was on CNN, and it was just a lovely moment because you rarely hear ginkgo biloba. But really, do you think this is a matter of memory and not speaking the truth?
Yeah, I do think it's a matter of memory, and I think that we try to read into it and make it seem like it's sinister. I don't think that it is. I think the senator, now attorney general, 70 years old, there was a grueling campaign and probably didn't remember all of the little things that he probably thought were insignificant or not that important, and he just forgets. And if he has a problem with remembering certain things, let's just do things to help his memory out a little bit. But I don't think that there's a sinister nature. I don't think he's lying. I don't think he's trying to deceive. This is a very honorable man who's been in these positions for a long time and has a stellar record of being truthful. And I think that to suggest that he's misleading the Congress, misleading the American people, is just wrong.
Angela, in the 30 seconds we have left, I want to ask you one quick question. We got some news today that Richard Cordray has announced he's resigning at the end of the month from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Do you think this is the end of the CFPB?
I think it's the end of the CFPB as we know it. Under Cordray's tenure, they have responded to over 1.3 million consumer complaints and have returned more than $12 billion
right.
to customers via their enforcement actions. Yeah. I do not think we will see that type of CFPB under this administration.
Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist, and Paris Denard, Republican strategist. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both.